Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. In these few verses, we see our Lord's love for children and his teaching that entrance into the kingdom of God requires a childlike faith. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Then they brought young children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. Let's look at a few background notes, first of all, to help us better understand these verses. The word that's used for children in verse 13 can include babies as well as preteens. It's the same word that was used back in Mark chapter 5, verse 39, for Jairus' daughter. You remember, she was 12 years old. And we know that there were babies included here because they are mentioned specifically in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. So you have babies and young children here, preteens, all being brought to the Lord. Now, the reason that the mothers and very possibly other family members are bringing these children to the Lord for blessing is that it was quite common in the culture of that day to bring children to a great rabbi for blessing. And what a great blessing they received. The Lord took them in his arms, and laid his hands on them, and called for God's blessings on each one of them. The word that's used for blessed here in verse 16, he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The word that's used here for blessed could be translated fervently blessed. This was not just some formal invocation of blessing like the benediction pronounced at the end of a church service. No, this was more like the prayer of blessing from a warm-hearted father that he would pray for his children that he dearly loved. It's significant that we don't read that any of the children who were brought were left out or that any child received less of a blessing. There was no selection process going on here at all. The Lord blessed them all. Now, this may be a point in favor of the doctrine that all children, before they reach the age of responsibility, are part of the elect company of believers. However, you certainly couldn't prove that doctrine from this passage of Scripture alone, and so we will not make that one of our doctrinal points from this passage. Well, what doctrinal points or teaching points do we want to bring out from these few verses? Doctrinal point number one. Children are important to the Lord. Children are important to the Lord. How many of you remember that Sunday school song, "Jesus Loves the Little Children"? Now, don't ask me to sing it. Why ruin the talk? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Well, that truth is certainly taught in these verses. Think of our Lord knowing that the suffering of crucifixion was only a short time ahead, and yet he has time to bless the children. Certainly, children are important to the Lord. In verse 14, he says, "Do not forbid them. Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them." Children are important to the Lord. We can see here that our Lord was tender and compassionate and socially gracious in the way he came across to people. He was not stern and standoffish. Children are not attracted to people like that. But we see here that children readily came to the Lord and let him bless them. Certainly an indication of our Lord's character as being tender and compassionate and socially gracious. In verse 14, we read that the Lord was greatly displeased, indignant, when the disciples were trying to stop the people from bringing the children. The disciples thought that the children were not that important to the Lord. The Lord was indignant. The word used here conveys a strong emotional response from the Lord, greatly displeased. Why? Because children are important to the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Children were important to the Lord in that day. The same is true today. children are important to the Lord. Doctrinal point number two. Entrance into the kingdom of God requires a childlike attitude. Entrance into the kingdom of God requires a childlike attitude. In verse 14, again, the Lord said, "Don't forbid the children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, what did our Lord mean by that? For of such is the kingdom of God. Did he mean that children are more important than adults in the kingdom of God? Did he mean that children who die and go to heaven are going to remain children? No. Verse 15 really explains what the Lord meant. Verse 15, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Once again, as the Lord did in chapter 9, he is using children as an object lesson. And the point of the object lesson is our doctrinal point. Entrance into the kingdom of God requires a childlike attitude. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, the Lord said, "Except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's no other way. There's only one way into the kingdom of God. You must be born again through Christ. And here the Lord is just as emphatic. Look there in verse 15, "Assuredly," or "truly I say to you," a solemn pronouncement. "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." An emphatic negative. There's only one way into the kingdom of God. Now, in what ways does a person have to become like a little child to be born again and enter the kingdom of God? Well, children are essentially trusting and receptive to what is told them. They are not skeptical, but open to believe what's told them. In the same way, people who become Christians must, in simple faith and trust, believe that Christ died on the cross for their sins and accept him as their personal Savior. This is what the Bible teaches, and to question that truth and to be skeptical about the clear teaching of Scripture is to remain outside the kingdom of God. You must become childlike in your reception. Furthermore, children are helpless and dependent. They can't use money or power to gain position. They are helpless and dependent and must receive what's given to them as a gift. In the same way, no one can use their money or power to enter the kingdom of God. They must receive salvation as a gift. Have you become like a little child and entered the kingdom of God? Or are you still thinking that you can force your way into the kingdom on your terms? Entrance into the kingdom of God requires a childlike attitude. Practical application. Let us not misrepresent the Lord. Let us not misrepresent the Lord. When the disciples rebuked those who were bringing children to the Lord, they actually misrepresented the Lord. The average person on the street would have thought that this was the Lord's policy. They would have thought that the Lord had told his disciples, "I don't want to be bothered with children." And they would have thought that the disciples were just carrying out the Lord's policy. What could be further from the truth? So the disciples, you see, actually misrepresented the Lord. They may have meant well. Well, we want to get more privacy for the Lord. We want the Lord to be able to have more rest. We want there to be less interruptions for the teaching seminars, and many other reasons. But they lacked spiritual sensitivity, and they ended up misrepresenting the Lord. Well, we can do the same thing today. We can misrepresent the Lord. For example, if we don't care for children, or if we just take an academic approach to our faith, or if we refuse to get involved in Christian service, we actually misrepresent the Lord. We may not mean to. Our motives may be pure. But we need to be careful that we don't misrepresent the Lord. Do people see Christ in you, or do they get a distorted picture of what the Lord is really like? Let us not misrepresent the Lord. Practical application number two. Let us bring our children to the Lord. Let us bring our children to the Lord. As the parents brought their children to the Lord in that day, so let us today bring our children to the Lord. You know, I'm so glad that my parents led me to Christ as a preteen. I often wonder where I'd be today if I hadn't been brought to the Lord as a child. Some of you here this evening have children. Some of you here this evening have grandchildren. Some of you here this evening will have children and grandchildren. It is of utmost importance to do what you can now to bring your children or your grandchildren to the Lord. When they are young, in their early years, when they are open, when they are receptive, when they're not skeptical, when they become teenagers, they become more closed, they have their own agenda, they become more skeptical, they have so many other interests that come in to take their attention. If they come to the Lord as a child and then go on and become a Christian teenager, they can be very effective with their peers. They can be greatly used of the Lord. You know, an outstanding biblical example of a parent and grandparent bringing a child to the Lord would be the case of Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says of Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, who was it that taught the Scriptures to Timothy when he was a child, so that he became a Christian at a young age? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 1 gives us the answer. In verse 5 of chapter 1, we read of the faith of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Lois and Eunice were godly Jewish women who taught Timothy the Old Testament scriptures, so that young Timothy was open to the gospel and accepted the Lord when the message of salvation was presented. Timothy may have actually accepted the Lord when he heard Paul preach the gospel, but the groundwork of bringing Timothy to the Lord was certainly done by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. And as you know, Timothy went on to join the Apostle Paul in his missionary travels. He probably joined Paul when he was still in his teenage years. Another reason why Eunice is a good example to us of a parent bringing a child to the Lord is that her situation was not ideal. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, we read that Timothy's father was not a believer. This made it especially hard to teach and train young Timothy in the scriptures. But his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were faithful and overcame the obstacles and brought Timothy to the Lord. So Eunice should be an encouragement to single parents or parents in a mixed marriage where only one parent is a Christian. We all have a responsibility to bring our children to the Lord, even when the situation is not ideal. And it can be done, even though we face a lot of obstacles. Now is the time when the children are young and more open. Strike while the iron is hot. Do everything you can to bring your children to Christ in their early years, their early and open years. Get them to Sunday school. Have family devotions. Have discussions with them where you even include invitations to accept Christ. Now, lots of prayer, of course. Biblical parental guidance in this crucial matter of life and death is not manipulation. Let us bring our children to the Lord.